Call the construction committee meeting to order. We have a roll call.
Here.
Who's that? Yeah, Michael's here. All right, we shall begin. Do you have any updates there, Mr. Miles, on delivery of projects on the I-5? Very important to America.
Is it on now? Yes, I guess it is. Okay, I'll start with the I-5 South project, segment number one, the Alondra Boulevard project. It's at about 15% construction completion. The target is still April of 2015. However, we are experiencing some delays with potential conflicts with other segments of the project, and also we're working with some utility companies for utility relocation, and we're trying to do a workaround to keep the project on schedule. Segment number two, Valley View Avenue project. It's in design. It's 95% complete. Right-of-way acquisition is still in progress. There are 60 commercial properties that are being acquired. Right-of-way certification is on target for delivery in March of 2014. We're also investigating the JPA's new proposed ramp structures that are going to be added to accommodate some PUC concerns about the grade separations. And if we have to do an additional grade separation, it could increase the cost of the project by about $50 million. So we are working with Union Pacific Railroad and the PUC on the original design was to leave the grade separation or the at-grade crossing there, but now they're requiring us to put an at-grade separation. Segment number
Who's requiring?
PUC, Public Utilities Commission, and Union Pacific Railroad. Segment number three, the Shoemaker project. Construction is 1% complete. We're going to be closing. Shoemaker Avenue will be closed between Rosecrans Avenue and Excelsior Avenue for 1 year. That should begin, I think it's already begun on the 19th, so that will be closed. North Firestone Frontage Road between Carmenita and Rosecrans will also be closed as part of that work. Again, we have a lot of work going on in a very small area along the I-5, and so our projects are now starting to conflict, so we're doing conflict resolution between the different segments of the job to keep the jobs going accordingly. But we do expect some delays between Carmenita and Segment 4, so we are working with the contractors to minimize those delays.
Do you expect delays because of conflict or?
The delays are because of the conflict of the work that the contractors are doing and closing adjacent ramps. We can't have, adjacent ramps closed. We want to stagger the ramp closures. So we're working with them to make sure the ramps are closed accordingly. And what that's doing is it's modifying their schedules. So we're trying to minimize impact to the contractor because of scheduling conflicts and ramp closures and different things. Because we don't want to have, consecutive ramps closed. It's just too inconvenient to the public. Segment four, the Imperial Highway project, again, it's about 1% complete. Estimated completion is 2017. The thing that's at risk is we have 148 of the 193 parcels have closed escrow, and right-of-way has a demo contract, and we started clearing the parcels that we have purchased and are in ownership of, and we are working with the additional property owners to acquire their property, but we are having some difficulties in that area, so we're working through our right-of-way unit to make sure that we get that work completed in a timely manner. On I-5 North, the segment one from State Route 118 to State Route 170, it's about 65% completed. It's on track for completion in September of 2014. We don't see any major risks on that segment. Segment number two, State Route 170 to Buena Vista, it's about 70% completed in construction. Our one-month look ahead is that construction is progressing as scheduled. We did, however, have a sound wall footing design change. We had to go from pile footings to spread footings due to a change in existing site conditions. We found some boulders, so we had to redesign the footings to accommodate those boulders. So that could delay us about 6 months as we redesign those footings and change them to spread footings versus the pile. Segment number three, Empire Boulevard project. The construction project was awarded on 11/29 of 12. Utility relocation is starting to take place, and we anticipate that the utilities will be all relocated by 2013 of June. The completion date of fall 2016 is at risk of about 6 months. We're working with a lot of third-party utility companies out there for the utility relocations, and they're not working as fast as we would like, so we're working with them to try to expedite their work. Segment number four, Magnolia Avenue to State Route 134. It's about 32% completed. We had some differing site conditions out there that we've discovered. We also discovered a number of abandoned petroleum and gas lines and active utility lines that weren't identified on any of the as-built plans. So we're in the process of evaluating those and trying to figure out who actually owned those utility lines, and we're trying to relocate them. So we're working with the people that we are appropriate for trying to relocate those. That's my update. Any questions?
Any questions? No, thank you. Would you keep a surprise on that utility issue then?
I will.
Murphy knows that's one of my favorite subjects is delays due to utility location. Like, it's shocking breaking news.
Good morning,
okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Let's go to item 44.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Item
44. I think 44. Mr. Yale needs to be up here too, doesn't he? Somebody?
Item 44 is requesting specific approval for three items of work related to contract modification on the I-405 Sepulveda Pass project. Item A is asking for approval to decrease the life of project budget by $3.4 million because of the reduction in funding from the city of LA concerning with the reversible lane project. Originally, we had $6 million approval. They reduced it by 3.4, so we had to decrease the life of project budget by that amount. And we have instructed the contractor to revise the scope of work accordingly. Item B is to accept the $26.1 million for project enhancements from the state of California, thus allowing us to increase the LOP budget from $1,044.6 million to $1,070.7 million. Item number C is to authorize the CEO to execute a contract modification in the order of $15 million to take care of the provisional sum increase in the budget. We'll be happy to answer any specific questions on those three items.
Well, I'm not sure where everyone else is on this issue, but I obviously I'm concerned about this. It sounds like a very innocuous transfer of $26.1 million. This is really moving money out of the I-5 North project into the 405. So my issues are, is it precedent setting? Why is it being removed from the I-5 corridor? I know there was a previous action by the board, I think back in December, about moving these funds around, but to me it raises some very significant issues, and maybe somebody can explain that to me.
I'll give it a try, Mr. Chair. The history of this fund is fairly complicated. The corridor mobility improvement account was a major discretionary piece of funding for the California Transportation Commission in Prop 1B. When the state's bond capacity was temporarily suspended during the economic recession, they used the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act to backfill some of the funding on I-405 that was to come from the CMIA. When they did that, we got an agreement that the money would not leave the county. In the state law, it was called AB3X20. a special session item. So this $26 million stems from that legislation. It basically said the CTC was not allowed to remove it from our county. They did have a policy for their discretionary funds, which said that when there was a bid savings, they would take the money and reallocate it to whomever they chose. They had some rules about the north-south split, but other than that, they could allocate it to another county, another project entirely, which is exactly what they proposed to do both on I-5 South for bid savings there and on I-5 North for the extraordinary bid savings we got on the Empire Avenue project. That's something over $100 million was saved on that project, which is what made this money available. In the complex three-party negotiations, Caltrans, the CTC, and us, it became evident that they were going to take the $26 million from us unless we put it on the 405 where it had originally come from in the AB3X20 scheme that came out of the American Recovery Act. So we were able to
salvage. But what do you mean?
Otherwise, we would have lost the money.
I understand the losing the money, but what do you mean it came originally from? I mean, how are you going to, when you recommended it back in November, December, that meeting, why wasn't it backfilled then? Or how are we going to backfill it?
Well, we did move the funds then and got permission to seek the allocation. If the allocation did not occur before December 31st, 2012, the funds would be lost. We did secure the allocation for the 405 project from the California Transportation Commission to prevent the loss of that money. The life of project budget amendment was not yet in place, and that's what the action is today, to enable the project manager to tap into the already allocated funds.
The Measure R projects in the I-5 corridor lost $26.1 million in the state funding assumed in Measure R to get those corridor mobility projects done. So what is our plans to backfill those funds with state funds?
Well, we had an extraordinary bid saving, so there is no need to backfill. The original scope of work is going to be built on the I-5 North corridor.
So we have no need to backfill?
Because of those bid savings, I believe that's correct, yes. Now, at a later point in time, if there's a change order or a problem on I-5 North, I think this board has an obligation to pick it up at that time and not perhaps bill the subregion. But we don't have that problem today.
Well, I think from my perspective anyway, we appear from time to time on a very piecemeal basis to have existing funding gaps. And I think that we should get a comprehensive list, whether it's Measure R or non-Measure R, so that we can see the cumulative needs that we have, so that we can set our priorities instead of approaching them in this piecemeal way. I mean, we're sort of getting, this month we get this piece, next month we get something else, and we never get the whole picture. So I for one, my colleagues would concur, would like for you to put together a comprehensive package of funding gaps, potential funding gaps, I mean real gaps, potential gaps, so that we can see this in the big picture so that we can have that document. When you come forward with the 405, we can see that, where it's all going to lay out.
I'm prepared to do that in your March meeting cycle. We've been working on just that since Measure J failed. So I would be pleased.
Yeah, but I think you've been working on it for a different reason. But anyway, that's a political comment. Mr. Najarian?
Thank you for those great questions, Mr. Chair. And let me just follow up. I think it's important that we make it clear that this is not a diversion of funding from the I-5 North to the I-405.
Right.
Because that sort of impression can lead to chaos on this board. And we've been very firm that we're very resistant to one project raiding funds of another. I know Chair Antonovich holds this particular project, the I-5, particularly dear to his heart, as do I. We do see eye to eye on some things. I want you to know that. However, What you're saying is this money would otherwise have been lost, would have been vaporized to the great white north, Northern California, were we not to identify another project in this region where we could use it.
That's correct.
Okay. Just so I'm clear and I, with a clear conscience, can move forward on this, and others from the northern area in particular might be saying, hey, that was our money. We should have gotten to keep that. But the answer is no. That money would have been subsumed and taken back by this AB3X20.
Yeah, the only reason we were able to keep it at the last minute there was the existence of that law.
Okay, I just thank you for starting the questioning, Mr. Chair, and I just want to make sure we know that and we're not raiding projects.
I mean, that's a big issue. I mean, that's, you know, could be the start of something big, so we need to make that clear. And also the only reason, but I mean, it's you say that, but on the other hand, you're saying you're able to take this money from the I-5 because they had bid savings. So it's not really an issue of just losing the money. You're saying you took the money because you had bid savings. What if you didn't have the bid savings in the I-5 North? What would have happened then?
Well, then there would be no money available to transfer to meet the I-5 costs that are proposed to be added to the LIFA project budget today. The 405, rather, sorry.
Right. So you wouldn't have been able to take that. I mean,
right.
I mean, there was a reason of the taking, and the taking was only because of bid savings.
Right.
I mean, so I think it needs to be clear that had there not been the bid savings, you would have been able to transfer this money to the I-405. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, right. We would have needed it where it was originally programmed. That's right.
Okay.
And I think the other point you made, I just want to understand that if for some reason the I-5, which is now, according to you, is experiencing bid savings, if those bid savings evaporate and there's a cost overrun of some sort, that what was your comment about that? That at that point we should not bid, build the subregion?
Members of the board have expressed an interest in some sort of compensation for the I-5 North corridor because they gave up this money. What I am suggesting is that if the I-5 corridor now experiences a cost increase that was unanticipated and unsupported by the state because they've already taken the savings away, we ought to keep this sort of transfer in mind as we address any future cost increases on the I-5 North at Empire.
What does that mean? Be specific. Say what you mean.
Well, if the I-5 North at Empire project encounters a change order that the state will not pay for, then this board ought to take it from a countywide perspective instead of, say, attacking the subregion.
Right. These are not Measure R dollars that we're talking
right,
about.
That's right, they're
not. Okay, so they were never subregion dollars,
that's
per se.
Right.
It
they're
was
not.
A project that was in the subregion that was paid for by countywide, state dollars, and you know, whatever other sources of money. It never was. I think we're confusing, and I understand why, and I think the sensitivity is appropriate, but the transfer amongst subregions is really a Measure R issue. This is a countywide issue, like so many before Measure R, as all of our projects were. We didn't talk about transferring into and out of subregions. I think it's totally appropriate, since these monies were countywide monies, that if there, for some reason, this bid savings is premature to assume, and there is a cost overrun of some sort, that the funding come from, it's got to come from a countywide source. Where else is it going to come from? It's not going to come from a Measure R source. This isn't a Measure R project. So it's going to come from a Measure R source, from a countywide source. And I think that's appropriate.
I just think it needs to be explained. I
totally agree.
Have a geographic equity issue here. Yep. And the issue is not a cost overrun. These are enhancements. You're spending this money on enhancements, not existing project. Am I correct?
You're talking about the 405?
Yeah.
I don't know what you call an enhancement. But.
Well, that's right in their point. Additional right turn pockets, improvement along the Getty property. The work is of completion, and staff estimates that these enhancements will exceed the $26.1 million.
Director Kanabe, that's correct. These are enhancements to us. Right? We are adding capacity in the future potentially. The ramp capacities are additional storage capacity, so yes, I would consider
And I'm not that. Evaluating whether that's right or wrong. I mean, probably the best thing to do, but I think it needs to be clear that this dollars are for enhancements and coming out of a pot. What happens? Then you don't do the enhancements if there hadn't been the bid savings on I-5 North?
No, we'd already programmed some of this money to do these things, because these are complicated agreements between Getty and Caltrans as well, because there's right-of-way exchange, a property. In addition to that, there's a 96-inch high-pressure water line that goes right by the Getty. So these are a lot of complicated things that really, and the agreement between the Getty and Caltrans has been brewing for years. They've had a lot of disputes over their frontage there. So we were still going to execute this because we thought it was really in the best interest of the project in this region.
And Caltrans is going to ultimately pick up the bill, right? No. At least you could say the check's in the mail.
Check's in the mail, I was just going to say.
Okay. The items before us.
The check's in the mail. The trouble is it's scheduled for Saturday delivery. Second.
Any further discussion? Any questions? Is there any public on the sign-up on this? Okay, without, Jeff, we'll move it forward to the full board. Okay, item 45, I understand, has been polled.
Yeah.
46.
Yes, sir. I do have a little extended presentation this morning on item 46. We have been, in the past year, providing the committee and the board the significant issues that we have been dealing with I-405 project. The project is very complex and the issues are very complicated. And we have also been dealing with major stakeholders like FSWA, VA, GSA, and communities who are affected by this project 24/7. And the committee and the board has been asking us to what it would take to complete the project and when this project will be done. We had to wait till now to get a handle on all the issues that we know on this project. Now that the project is essentially 66% complete, and we have probably addressed all the unknown utilities that we can think of in the project, and so we are now in a position to come to you today and let you know as to where we are concerning the project status and also the budget we think is needed to complete this project. Before I go into that, just to give you a brief overview of the project, this is a 10-mile northbound HOV lane. We have demolished and reconstructing three major bridges. Each one of them would be on its own a major project. We are also realigning some 28 on and off ramps while keeping the traffic moving 24/7. We are also widening 13 existing underpasses and structures, building some 18 miles of retaining and sound walls, and we are still keeping the 300,000 commuters moving safely through the project. So once we are done with this project, we are going to have a 100-mile HOV lane through the county, which is probably a state record for an HOV lane. The current cost of the project is, in the budget, is $1.048 billion, and the duration for completion is May of 2013. Just now you approved item 44, which increases the LOP from $1.48 to $1.070 billion. The phased completion that we can, at this time, forecast will be through mid-2014. We will go into little details a little later on. The forecast for completion at this point is $1.149 billion with a 10% contingency. We will talk about the contingency, how we started, where we were, and where we are today, and where we need to go. And the budget difference in our forecast to complete the project is $78.7 million. We are working through David Dale and our planning group to address the strategies as to where the funding sources ought to be and where they come from, and we will come to you in March with our recommendation. With that, I will ask Mr. Mike Barber, who is our project director, to go through some of the details of the project. Mike?
Okay, thank you. Good morning again to the board. Get the next slide. I just going to go through another summary. I think the board's heard a lot of these issues before as changes have come up, but I'll try to make this brief as far as the summary of the challenges in this presentation. Once again, the unidentified major utilities were a significant increase in this project, and one of them is a 12-by-12 box, which have been indicated up above, which has cost about $30 million by itself. Right away, and we've had GSA, VA, and the Getty in a Giro lawsuit. Those have been the major right-of-way issues and acquisitions. And all of these have affected the project in some way. GSA wouldn't let us get on their property for about 3 or 4 months after our date in the contract. Getty, significant stakeholder in this area as well, and we've negotiated a huge change with them to really move the freeway to the west. Giro lawsuit was essentially an easement that we crossed in our plans, so therefore they had a lawsuit against us for about $330 million. We had to change the ramps at Getty to avoid that. That impact is not only delayed the job, but it's also costing us money as well. MSE wall failures, I think it's pretty well documented that we had MSE wall failures out there. The contractors had to actually rebuild about tear down and reconstruct 16 major walls. Mulholland Bridge, in addition to all the Carmageddon stuff, really the Mulholland Bridge, we've changed the staging on that to not only save time and save funds as far as temporary utility relocations. Sepulveda Boulevard, this is really one of our major issues on the project is getting traffic through Sepulveda Boulevard. One of the things we had initially negotiated with not only the city, but the homeowners and Caltrans and Kiewit as well, our contractor, is to widen this area between Montana and Church. It was a huge benefit to, I think, all parties, but it also, an impact to the job. Project enhancements, we just talked about that, the Getty ramp improvements and whatnot. In addition to those enhancements, I should point out, the county has asked for changes as well. The city has asked for changes. There's a lot of discussion. We've had previous board meetings about why those things happened. But essentially, they didn't give us, the entities involved did not request these things during the environmental process. So it did impact the project because we had to deal with it during the project. Third-party coordination, I think of any project I've ever been on, this job has more third-party issues. In addition to VA, GSA, we have the Getty, Skirball Center, we have UCLA, we have every major. It's just been a real challenge to coordinate all these folks. And in addition to that, in Sepulveda, which you'll see in a minute here, we have a lot of utilities, oil companies and whatnot that we have to deal with, the project has to deal with. In other words, we give the work to the contractor, but we do a lot of coordination with that ourselves. I don't know how much we've probably mentioned a little bit the difference between design build and traditional design bid build. We want to point out, because this is kind of relative to why we're asking for money, and so I'd like to explain a little bit about that. Our project's design build. Essentially, it's you design it while you build. Obviously, that's going to save a significant amount of time because you're not going through the procurement process after you design it to actually do a procurement for construction. We do them together here. So we've listed, with the contractor's help, and Caltrans as well, we've listed a comparison up here between the two. And essentially what happens is that you're probably going to save 7 years by doing this type of construction at this site. Was it easy? No, because normally in a design bid build, you would do a lot of the utility relocations and analysis prior to the contractor coming on board. That didn't happen on this job. It all happened at once. Was that easy? No, it's very difficult. And as you can see, we keep coming back to ask for funds for additional utility relocations. And the real problem here was that there was not a detailed analysis of all the utilities on Sepulveda. This is a major utility corridor between the west side and the San Fernando Valley. And as you'll see here in a minute, you'll see some of these pictures.
But we knew that going in.
We knew that there was a lot of utilities. We did not know the extent of the utilities. And here's an example of, you know, a typical area probably down by Montana. And you can see there's just, you know, in itself, this is all feasible, except for when you start moving the freeway to the east, that means everything that the freeway covers up now has to be relocated to the to further east. And there's just really very little room in this area to do this. So this whole operation has been a significant impact to the project. And, in fact, when we come back to ask for money, it's really about provisional sums and utilities for the most part. The actual changes to the project caused by whatever really are within our original contingencies.
One of the issues that I need to point out here is a lot of these utilities are owned by city and third parties like Chevron, Exxon, Mobil, and these people don't allow anybody else to touch their facilities. They want to do it on their own. So the sequencing of all of these one by one, still keeping the traffic on Sepulveda Boulevard, has been a major challenge for us to bring them all in sequence. And if one of them fails to come in on time, it's like a domino effect. It impacts everything else. So I just wanted to point that out.
Could you go back the other direction? And our final issue on this schedule issue is that, the cost-benefit analysis of saving the 7 years is in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Although it's a very painful process, I think the west side and the commuters through this area have really benefited from this. Okay, go back to the, there you go. This is a typical area, once again, around Montana, between Montana and Church. What you can see here is the kind of reference is the wall that's shown there, the northbound widening. Really, that's over the new right-of-way. So what you're seeing there is pylons supporting that soil with a bridge. Essentially, we're supporting the freeway. And the reason for that is there's a 12-by-12 box adjacent to that wall. And this is a $30 million change that was not a change, but it was part of the provisional sums. And that was not anticipated because this box was not identified in our IFB documents. But anyway, let's move on. So now we're going to pat ourselves on the back a little bit. Sorry if you don't appreciate this. But high-profile accomplishments, Carmageddon 1, 2, the Wilshire ramps, all these have been done ahead of schedule and done very efficiently by our contractors. So we've actually had some pretty decent successes on the project. Here's some more of it. Sunset. Sunset is complete. We have some ramp work still complete there, but the main Sunset is done. The southbound on-ramp at Skirball is complete as well. This is a huge ramp. It's over several thousand feet long, so these are major issues. The shifts, all the utility work, I would say 96% or whatever the utility work is done on Sepulveda. We still have some minor things left to do. But the view there is a pretty interesting view because it shows a lot of like ground zero for the project, this huge walls to the east of the project, utilities working on their traffic congestion at the same time. This is a very congested area. Okay, for this year, one of the things coming back to the board is that is really trying to show you that the project is making success. Our contractor is working very hard out there. This year we intend to complete all the utilities. Like I said, we're at 96 now, so we're pretty confident of that. Bridges, Mahal and Skirball, Sunset will all be complete this year. Wilshire ramps will be complete. And if you know Wilshire, this is probably one of the major interchanges of the entire project because I would say there's a significant amount of improvements in this interchange. But all that will be complete this year. 90% of all the on- and off-ramps will be complete. The retaining walls and sound walls, 14 miles, will be complete. And then 90% of the underpasses and structures. In addition, one of the things we're also looking at is a 2.5-mile opening of the HOV in the south end. We kind of believe that's a benefit to the community and the commuters in here. So we're going to look at doing that by mid-year this year. And hopefully by the end of this year, or early next year, we'll have the north end of the project open as well. And then the real trouble area is, once again, is around Montana to Church, with ground zero. That's going to be sometime mid-next year. The other key deliveries, Getty Center Gate and road improvements. This has been a very big challenge for the job because Getty has, they're very particular about what goes on their property. The 105 the 405 and the 10 connectors will also be a key delivery as well. Community benefits. One of the things that's happened on this job is that we have relocated a lot of utilities, but all those things have been upgraded. All those utilities and oil, gas and oil and all that have been upgraded too, so I think that's a benefit to the project or to this area. Improving drainage. We've replaced one of our main cost increases as well, besides utilities, is local drainage. We've probably added about $30 to $40 million in increase just to deal with the local drainage. Bike lane. The area that I talked about in front of Montana, between Montana and Church, is also widened 6 feet to provide a bike lane in the, for the city. This is part of the agreement between the homeowners, the city, and Caltrans and Metro. And once again, Getty improvements. What will happen in the future, Caltrans will now be able to, because we have an agreement with Getty, to come in and put a fifth lane in the southbound direction between Getty ramps and Sunset. This is a huge issue that I think they've been working on for 15 years, so now that's been able to be resolved.
Okay. Have any questions on this? We'll be happy to answer.
Well, I don't have any questions at this point. I know that this is setting the stage for a pretty significant ask for additional dollars, and there's a lot of things in the pipe on this particular project, on this I-405. And again, I think it speaks loudly that we need that comprehensive look at what these funding gaps are comprehensively and not just piecemeal like this.
If you don't have any questions, I would like to acknowledge Mr. Scott Castle of Kivit Infrastructure. He's the president of the infrastructure company. He's in the audience. And also I want to thank Mike Miles, who have been very cooperative and collaborative in getting things project up to this stage where we are, and we have been working very hard with them concerning all the changes and improvements that we need to do. So just wanted to acknowledge those two gentlemen.
Okay. Well, welcome. Thank you for being here. Yeah. All right.
So can I move on to the next one, sir?
Yeah.
This is the regular standard status report. I will skip 405. I think we have given you the update on that. The next one is on the congestion reduction demonstration project. I think Stephanie Wiggins is here. I think you have some news to announce. We are going to open it tomorrow for public use. We are working with Caltrans to take care of some of the last-minute issues that we need to do. On the Patsouras Plaza busway station, I think we are revisiting some of the value engineering issues, and we are developing the workshops. So that project is moving along. Division 13 bus and O&M facilities, this contract has been awarded, and the demolition work is in progress. And we are doing the remedial work to take out all the hazardous material, and the contractor is now currently moving ahead with the foundation work. On the universal
Mr. Chair, if we could go back to the to the previous project. And colleagues, I'm submitting a motion to adjust the budget on this project. Last month when we got the report, it was brought to our attention that although originally budgeted, some of the utilities, originally budgeted to be underground, some of the utilities were no longer going to be put underground on Cesar Chavez. We've spoken with staff, and although it's been budgeted, we have the designs, everything's in place. All we need is $900,000 to start the construction because the design has been completed and all the permits are in place. I thought it was important that we move forward with the undergrounding, not only because further down Cesar Chavez going into Boone Heights, there's a plan to underground most of those utilities, and I just, number one, want to keep it consistent. But secondly, as we look at Union Station and we do the master planning for Union Station, I would presume and assume that looking out west, north, and south, there's going to be a lot of improvements planned, and if we're looking east, we should start thinking about how we improve the area around Union Station looking east as well, and this gives us an opportunity to do that. So I've presented a motion that hopefully you could support that would direct staff to move forward with the undergrounding, and as this project moves forward as a whole, to find other value engineering that could keep this at a keep the contingency level at a 3%, which is what we usually use. So, any comments from staff on my motion, whether this can or cannot work?
Yes, sir. Tim Lindholm, who is the project manager for the job, is going to go through some of the issues that we have identified if we were to proceed with this.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, that's. I would just let you know what the risks are if we were to proceed
sure.
back down this path. There's really four primary risks. One being is the budget. Obviously, if we go forward with the undergrounding, that'll put me with a contingency of $1 million to finish the project over the next year and a half, which is a red flag right there.
And what percent is that of?
That's a 1%.
1%. And what is your typical, what contingency are you required to be at per our policies?
It depends on the type of project, and that's what the policy says. But for a project like this, a bid build, we should have been around 10%.
You should have been at 10%.
That's what policy – now, that's starting the project to go
that's
through
starting,
design
okay.
construction. The contingency should slide down as you –
But you were approved at 3% for this project, right?
Approved at 5%.
At 5%, okay.
So we'd be at 1%. So there's a risk that if we were to go back and proceed with the undergrounding of the work, it's just a red flag that I'm in serious trouble with the budget.
Okay.
The other thing would be there's a schedule impact because in order to achieve these cost savings, I directed DWP to leave the overhead up a couple months back. So now we need to reverse course, and so there could be some schedule issues that go along with that.
Okay. On that DWP issue, we contacted DWP, and they say that they are ready to move forward, that the design is complete, all materials are required, I buyer marking compliant and available, and construction permits are in hand. The project is immediately ready to begin construction per DWP. We have an email that tells us that.
That reflects my understanding of everything except for one issue, is that I have not been told by DWP that the cable they have is Buy American compliant. I've been told that it's not. So design's done, permits in the bag, all this is true. But if they were to all of a sudden be able to produce Buy American compliant cable, that would be fantastic. I would be thrilled. But that's just not what I understand today.
Okay. Well, we have an email today that says they're ready, that all requirements for Buy American are compliant and available. So we'll forward that to you.
That would
okay.
be great if they have
okay.
it.
I mean, that would be fantastic. Okay. So and then the other one, just so you know, this is a fairly large undergrounding project because it's not just EWP. You've got Edison up there, Verizon, and a couple other providers. So it's a pretty massive utility trench we're going to be building. So it will have impacts to Cesar Chavez, there's no doubt, in terms of traffic flow. It could mm-hmm. take up 50 to 75% of the street, and we'll have to rework the street. It'll work, but it's going to be an impact. So
yeah, and of all the issues you raise, the three issues, I mean, construction is construction. There's always going to be impacts. We may have that same type of impact further down Cesar Chavez when we underground those utilities. Secondly, DWP is ready to go. I don't think the Buy American is an issue. We have that email. The one that is of concern is the 1% contingency. But I think as we move forward and you find other, you know where your contingency is and you try to find other savings as you move forward in the project. And I think it's worthwhile, like I said, specifically when we're looking at remastering Union Station, and if we don't take this opportunity to also look at how we make it more aesthetically pleasing and convenient for traffic and pedestrians going to the east. One of the things about the Union Station Master Plan is that how do we integrate better pedestrian access to Union Station? And certainly undergrounding the utilities, expanding the sidewalks, and making pedestrians have more access to Union Station from the east side, I think should be a priority.
Mr. Chair? I understand what you're saying. I understand what it is that you are seeking. A couple of months ago at committee, I believe it was the Finance Committee, we had a rather detailed discussion about this budget, this project, Division 13. And at that time, there was a strong expression of will from the committee that we find ways of reducing the cost of the project so as to remain within a more safe contingency. It was in that context that this issue arose. I would note that in the event we should look for other savings, the guideline 2 or 3 months ago was to not reduce the utility of the facility. Surely we can cut costs by reducing utility, but that's not a very attractive option. So that is what led us to where we are. you know, we stand ready to take the direction from the board, but we got here by way of a committee discussion.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, colleagues, I would ask if you could support this, and I think if I could ask staff as you move forward to continue to find savings as we move forward in the project, I think it would be a huge loss of an opportunity to if we don't take action at this time.
Okay. I had a question, but Zev has it. Go ahead, Zev.
How much does it cost to underground the utilities? What's the additional cost of this project?
$2 million.
And you have $1 million in the contingency now?
Assuming we do the undergrounding, that would leave me with
That would leave you with two. So how much do you have? You have $3 million in the contingency now?
Well, now $2 million because the leaving the overhead up actually cost me money as well. It's not a free option. It's just a less expensive option. So that's going to cost me in the neighborhood of $900. So.
All right, so this is a net $2 million cost to this correct. Project. And what's the total cost of the project?
95.1.
Okay, if I could correct that.
Sorry, what is that?
$95 million.
$95 million. And so and the net cost of the project is how much? $2 million or $1.1?
No, the $95 million includes the contingency.
No, but I mean the net additional cost of this undergrounding, is that $2 million or $1.1 million?
The actual cost of the undergrounding itself is $2 million.
No, I'm looking at the net additional cost. $1 million.
Yeah, $1 million, yeah.
And is there, have you identified anything in the project worth $1 million out of the $95 million overall?
We have not. I've got a couple things up my sleeve. I've directed the contractor and the designer to come up with ideas. They have. They're nickel dime type ideas, but they add up. It adds up to something, but nothing big like this. And they're still working on coming up with value engineering ideas.
What is the source of money for this project in the first place, the $95 million? Where is it?
It's a combination, but it's for the most part FTA State of Good Repair funds. You know, we won a grant, largest grant in the country, to do this project.
And if you're, for some reason you can't find $1 million in savings and other things pop up and you're in the red on this project,
then I'm in trouble. Yeah. What I'm basically saying is I got a $95 million budget, and if I forecast all my expenses to 2 years out when we're done with the project, it totals up to 94. Right. So that leaves me $1 million of cushion, which is really not a good place to be in when we're not even out of the ground yet.
I think more importantly, Supervisor, construction cannot go outside the box of each project to find monies. That has to come from the planning source. Like David Hale, he's the one, his group, they look around and see where the funds are out there.
So once you make the decision to underground the utilities and then you find you're in a pickle, financial pickle, you can't turn around and go back.
No, then I'll have to just, you know.
We just have to do it.
Come in here and ask for some more funds.
Wouldn't it not be appropriate, Director Huizar, if maybe we move this forward without recommendation to have them get them a firm handle on the financial piece at the full board? I mean, it had to be acted upon there as well. The other question I had is, do these poles and everything, the utilities, belong to DWP?
Yes, I think there's a DWP portion, right?
Do they have any Rule 20 money like Edison does in various parts of the county where they're set-aside dollars for undergrounding?
Yeah. Yeah, so let me look into that as well. I think I'll by the time this gets to the board, I think that's a good recommendation, Chair, and okay. I will, by the time it gets to the board, speak with DWP as well.
I mean, look at all the options, not only inside the project, but, you know, look at see if DWP has any of the Rule 20 money for undergrounding, which would be a very significant savings to the project.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Have you ever brought a project in under budget?
Oh, yes.
What was the likelihood that this project could be brought in under budget so we wouldn't have to worry about that slim contingency?
I think I've got a pretty high likelihood of having some problems out here. It's as you can imagine, we're building it right across the street between the jail, central maintenance facility, our headquarters. There is a ton of utilities out there that we are relocating, and we're in the process of uncovering those right now. I'm sorry,
did you say a high likelihood of problems or a high likelihood of coming in under budget?
I would say it's a high likelihood that we will not be able to finish the project with $1 million of contingencies. That's what I would say.
So likely that it would be over budget.
Mm-hmm. Not by much in the scheme of things, but enough to push me over the edge.
Okay, well, these are the kind of things the board would appreciate hearing. And I mean, we're looking forward, and there are uncertainties.
Yeah, because we're taking all the savings and putting in the 710 extension north.
And on the other hand, there is another significant
And look, folks, I mean, we just talked about the 405 and how all of the Sepulveda section will be, you know, all that's going underground. And, you know, it's an issue as well as equity. And it's an issue of this whole area here has been badly designed where it's we don't really allow for more pedestrians. And if you look at the east side, most of those people, a lot of them walk over that bridge. It's not the most pedestrian-friendly bridge to walk over. And this is going to connect us with what I said, which already is going to be underground. The utility is going to be underground. So it's just, I think we'll miss a huge opportunity here.
It's an opportunity, and I think if we, you know, again, move it forward without a recommendation to see what they can come up with, what DWP might be able to respond with if they have underground dollars available through Rule 20. You know, I mean, just look at the idea, you know, staff's coming forward, I understand, for a P3 consultant for the Sepulveda Pass Transit Project, which is a third-decade project of several million dollars. So there might be some opportunities to access dollars in various ways to take.
So, Mr. Chair, procedurally how this would work, is this a report?
We would move this your motion forward to the full board without recommendation
and
expect staff to come back with options to pay for the project. And maybe the DWP folks interface somehow to see what might be available.
And then you could move it when it comes to the...
Yeah, I think those options, I mean, for us to move it, I think might be premature unless we have some comfort level on the financing.
And also, when you come back, currently we have designs that have been paid for to underground the utilities. If you could also come back to us... what savings we would have. Well, actually, it's going to be cost now if we keep them above ground to redesign that. There's going to be some cost to that. So if you could please add that to, if you could give us that, because if we move forward with undergrounding, we're going to save on are the cost that we're going to have to redesign. So that could be a couple of hundred thousand dollars there. So
it's 80. We have the number.
Okay, if you could. Okay. So we got to keep that in the calculation as well, please. Thanks.
Why did you design something underground when it wasn't approved to go underground?
Well, no. The intent when we first put this project together was to underground the utilities. The problem was is once we awarded all of our contracts, got the design done, got everything assembled, it puts me over budget. So it was something that we were willing as a project team to cut back on.
So when you bid it funds. When you bid it out as an undergrounding of the utilities?
Yeah, that's correct.
And it was approved as being underground.
See, that's a difference.
That's a significant piece of information that I wasn't aware of.
So, if I might, at the committee, this was discussed, Finance Committee, and so the goal here, or the reason for this action, was to remediate against the problem Tim just described. So, that's where we are. And it's just this is to some degree a risk management problem. To the degree we reduce the contingency, there's some risk that there might be an overrun. In that event, we would find other funding and come back and seek approval from the board of directors.
Or other places in the project that you could cut. I mean, you're not talking about a whole big chunk of money. This is not $100 million. You're talking about $1 million or $2 million.
Correct.
And maybe you can take another look. I mean, I'll just leave it at that. Take another look. You should find out from DWP what's available. And maybe they'd want to contribute on a match basis to what we do here, even if they don't have the Rule 20 monies. There are a lot of ways to skin this cat. I would.
Okay. So we'll move it forward without recommendation. And you've heard the questions and what the information we'd like back for the full board.
One final thing, Mr. Chair, and that is when you brought this to the board, you had decided that this is where you will make the savings, but if you could come back to us as well with options, where else can you, as Mr. The board director, Yastrzelowski, said, where else can you possibly find $1 million in the project? And let us decide. You know, maybe there's some other options, alternatives there that we would rather go with rather than undergrounding these. So we could have those as well. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
In the interest of time, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. I don't think there's anything else before the board except public comment, right? Pardon me? Okay. With that, this meeting's adjourned.